If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than two decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, kid, I don't know what you're so smiling about. Kid on Canada is all, like, smiling and kind of laughing it up. The kid that just, like, missed on a terrible penalty shot that I would have stopped. Like, bro, it was a terrible attempt. Ivory Coast just won. It's not the end of the world, whatever. It was friendly. You know what I mean? It's just a game. But still frustrating. I think actually it was for they actually called it a Canadian Shield tournament. So I think the Ivory Coast just took the Canadian Shield home. All right, we got McInnes for a couple of more minutes. Joe Ranieri is AWOL right now. I would say he doesn't want to face the music, but his team is up 2-1. So I don't think that's the case. He's probably just, cooked in the Miami sun. He's out, he's up in South Beach being the hipster that he is. You know, a lot of places that Joe Ranieri could be right now. McInnes knows Joe as well, right? There's a lot of places Joe could be right now.
I think he's kicking back in the pool, having a good time, cooking up some more tweets about bragging about Bill Zito and the Florida Panthers management getting $4 million tax benefits off the Florida Panthers. That's what I think. He's crafting more tweets coming after me, you, Cam, Joe Madden. I mean, he was finding all the Canadians he knew to come after on Twitter yesterday. I saw it all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you saw it. Yeah, exactly. And he said, so what are you going to have me on the show? Because before the series started, I happened to be on the air with him. And there was a lot of friendly smack talk going on. And he goes, hey, don't be scared to have me on when the Panthers are winning the series. And then last night he was talking smack when they went up 2-1. So I said, all right, let's do it tonight. But he's not here. I'm going to make sure he comes on Thursday after the game, after the Oilers win. That's what we got to get
him. That's a good call.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
I like that.
I was willing to do it after the Panthers won, right? It goes both ways here. But no, we'll get Ranieri. But so Bizinet got ripped for this by Bettman. Bettman, like, oh, scoff, that's the dumbest take ever. It's not the dumbest take ever. It's actually been discussed quite a bit. Bettman, you know, obviously was ready for it, and he's a lawyer, so he's going to have some comebacks. And he said, well, what are we going to do? We're going to give the Rangers and the LA Kings a break because taxes are high in New York and California, but... And listen, he said it never mattered before when the Florida Panthers weren't good. I would counter that by saying that the salaries weren't big enough before. It was different. Like, it wasn't as in the forefront as it is now. But it is a point that, you know what I mean? I do agree that, yeah, if you have a good organization, people are going to want to play for you. But it is much harder to, when players are free agents and they're on these teams, it's very difficult to match the contract. Like, you know, you go back to the Steven Stamkos. Stamkos was kind of willing to leave the Lightning once years ago, right? You know, Toronto guy, and the Leafs were all in. And the Leafs offered him, like, the max at the time. I don't know, it was like $8 million a year or something. And he basically said, but I get this from Tampa, and the tax difference is just massive. And then the Leafs tried to get a deal with, like, Canadian Tire and Tim Hortons and Bauer and blah, blah, blah. They cut all these deals for him. And they said, listen, you'll make up the money and sponsorship. And then Bettman and company stepped in and basically said, you can't, it's like Kawhi Leonard wanted a helicopter from the Raptors to stay. It doesn't work that way. This isn't college. Like, you know what I mean? You were not allowed to give you a helicopter. Like, you got
yeah.
Raptors, I will not sign unless I get a chopper. Are you with me?
But you're not allowed perks in pro sports, right? Yeah. You're not allowed perks. But anyways, long story short, the tax difference. So, like, Sam Bennett, a good example on the Florida Panthers now. Let's say a team wants to sign him. Let's say you offer him $10 million a year. And if you're the Leafs, you offer him $10 million a year. He's going to end up only keeping up like six and a half of it. And then if he stays with the Florida Panthers for $8 million, he'll still make more. So he could take $2 million less from them and still make more money. And or go to the Dallas Stars or the Tampa Bay Lightning and do the same thing. What was your take, McKittis? Because I know you had a take on Bettman's comments.
Well, it just makes me laugh that his big argument for being a lawyer is, well, if this wasn't an argument 10 years ago, it shouldn't have been one now. I mean, I didn't like red wine 10 years ago, but I damn right love it now. Doesn't mean that that's an argument. I mean, this is something that you can change your mind. Things can be different now. I mean, the fact of the matter is they're going to be able to sign Sam Bennett for $7, $8 million a year when for any other team, they're paying $10 million for him. Bill Zito is a good general manager with his trades. The Reinhardt, the Verhaeghe, the Tkachuk, all of that. Nobody is arguing he's not a good general manager. But the fact that people are going to be blinded, and I mean blinded, by the fact they're getting discounts by re-signing. The key word is re-signing, not trading, re-signing. I mean, the fact of the matter is players don't just want to play there. So the fact that Bettman said to us, the fact that he goes, you know what? Well, why didn't it matter years ago and it matters now? Well, Bettman, they caught on. They caught on. They didn't catch on before. I mean, Florida Panthers, Vegas Golden Knights, Colorado Avalanche, Tampa Bay Lightning. So tell me if four to five of those teams, guys, do you guys see a pattern? Because Bettman doesn't see a pattern, but I see a pattern there.
No, there definitely is. And we'll, you know what? We'll see what happens with the free agency this year as well. And we'll see, case in point, how it plays out and where players go. It's a thinner free agency, class this year. But there's still a bunch of players out there. I do think, listen, you know, guys want to play for the New York Rangers. Guys want to play for the LA Kings. And there's bigger taxes there. There's no dispute that. But I think McKinnis is really on to something. And we've talked about it a lot. Like, potential free agent players don't leave these teams because they can literally get paid less money to stay. How can you compete with that? But I even said, like, you can't start changing stuff because of taxes in states all the time or provinces. Because, like you said, McKinnis, things change. So what if a new government comes in and there's new tax? So are you going to change things every year in the NHL? Like, it's too convoluted and complicated. But I can't help but think it would be a fairer system, Cam, if it was like $12 million is $12 million. And yes, every team offered the contract, and it was just that's the contract, and that's the money you're getting, right? Like, but that's not the way that it works.
No, you guys nailed it on the head. McKinnis, I didn't like red wine 10 years ago, but no, well said by both of you guys. And there is a pattern, and there is a and
or these markets, let teams go over the cap like they do in the NBA and stuff.
Thank
and
you.
Just say, listen, if you're the Leafs and you really want to compete with Tampa Bay with this, go ahead, spend the money, and we're going to ding you for a $2 million fine that goes into the player. Like every team. Here's the money. Luxury tax in the NBA.
You got
we
it.
Don't want to suck. We'll pay the extra money so we don't suck. Here's your money. Mm. Right? That's the way they should do it. I said they should just let that happen. Where come up with some creative things where teams are allowed to just sort of go over if they want to and have some small fines for it, etc. And it would make the league more competitive as well.
What about revenue share, Gabe? I mean, do the Montreal Canadiens have to share their revenue and the New York Rangers with the Florida Panthers with their 500 fans to come to game 45? Because we have the revenue share. That's the thing, though. The revenue share is a real thing. All 82 teams have revenue share. So why do they have to revenue share for teams getting $2 million tax breaks?
That's a fair point.
Good point.
Yeah, that's why the Bettman wouldn't want you on the panel asking
exactly.
these questions.
McInnes is sweating Bettman, man. McInnes is a lawyer.
I'm ready.
Biz just sort of laughed it off, like, oh, ha, 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 ha. Like they all, like, you know what sound or anything like that. Thanks, Hedge.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Morenci. We'll get into the U.S. Open in a minute. We'll see what Smiley Kaufman has to say about it as well. We'll see what Cam thinks about the U.S. Open. Tomorrow we've got Brady Cannon in the house as well. Rockies up 5-3 on San Francisco. The Giants had a five-game winning streak going, gunning for six, but looks like they're in trouble. Top of the ninth right now. They're plus 750 money line. Arizona up 4-0 on Seattle. I am on Seattle, but I'm on the under 9.5 as well. Athletics up 1-0 on the LA Angels right now, and San Diego have exploded, Cam. They put up 3-3, 1-4, 1-5, 5-0 for the Friars right now over the Dodgers.
Yeah, that was I like San Diego tonight, Gabe. I don't know. What do you think the Dodgers are going to do? Like, with the they got a lot of different starters and injuries right now. Obviously, it's a long season, but it's a little bit concerning, Morenci. Like, you know what I mean? Some of these other teams are really stepping up, but you know the Dodgers are going to be there in the end. But are you concerned?
No. No, I'm not. And, you know, I know that, listen, the Dodgers are 16. They were 16-16 in their last 32 games coming in to tonight, but with the concern, Cam, there's only, I'm looking right now, I just want to confirm, there's three teams in all of Major League Baseball that have won more games than them. Like, it's not like they're you know what I mean? And they're in first place, right? Like, they've won, they're 40, and they're 13 games over 500, they're 40-27, like, they'll be 40-28 after tonight. They've had a ton of injuries to the pitching staff. It's about getting through this. Winning the division, making the playoffs, and whatever. It's, you know, it just, it's about the big picture with them. But if you look, Cam, like I said, they're on pace to win 99 games right now.
That's crazy.
Their win total was 103.5. So they're a little off the pace right now because they haven't had the best month. But it's a problem with their pitching. That's the only thing I would say. You can't just say that is it bad luck? Is there... The former manager of the Angels, Madden, once talks. I saw him talking smack about the Dodgers. It didn't sound like he liked them very much, though. But, like, it was he basically said that they get their pitchers hurt with the way that they handle their pitchers. And there must be something going on because it's not normal how many pitchers get hurt on their team. I don't know if it's just freak, fluke-type stuff, but, like, it is crazy how the Dodgers roll out. Like, they got to roll out, like, these no-name dudes all the time. Because all their star pitchers are hurt, but they're just worried about the big picture. Yet San Francisco losing, San Diego are lingering, right? I mean, I actually think it's good for them too, Cam, in a sense that you can't, like, if you win a division by 40 games and stuff and you're not playing any real baseball, bro, in August and September, it's hard to turn it on again, right? You see this all the time, dude. The teams that are playing in the final weekend go into the playoffs hot. All right, let's see what Smiley Kaufman has to say about the U.S. Open.
I don't know who you're going to put your money on this week, what the safest bet is here, but I do know this, Smiley. If you're looking at outright odds, where do you think we were talking about Scotty and Rory? They were in like the 4-1, 5-1 ish range for all these majors for, you know, by and large, maybe a little bit higher or lower depending on the venue. Where do you think Scotty and Rory are now outright to win at Oakmont, the U.S. Open?
I do not know the answer to this, but I'm going to give you my best guess. They were both around that plus 450-ish range after the Masters when we were talking about the U.S. Open odds. I would imagine Scotties have creeped down, especially 4 out of 5, and then coming off of a win at Memorial. I would say that he's probably creeped down to plus 375, and then I'm going to say that Rory McIlroy's probably creeped up to, gosh, if he was around plus 500, I would say that he's probably around plus 800 now.
You're getting really good at this game, Smiley. Plus 275 for Scottie Scheffler to win. And plus 850 for Rory McIlroy. So it just goes to show, at least in the handicapper's mind. And again, thanks for our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook for teeing that up. And by the way, you can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code SmileyShow. That's code SmileyShow for new customers to score $300 in bonus bets when you win your $5 bet. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bet must win to receive reward. Minimum minus 5,000 odds required. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. It's another disclaimer week, Smiley. How'd I do, by the way?
I thought you were just going to do like a short version of it. And then once you got closer to Boot Hill Casino, that's when I knew we were all the way
that's
in.
Once you get to Boot Hill, there's no going back. We're going all the way to Kansas.
Thanks for sticking with us, folks.
I mean, at least it's somewhat entertaining to see if I can make it through that read.
That was actually really good. Well done.
I'll say, like, if that's the tone we're setting this week, we might just throw the recorded disclaimer out the window. I think I might have a handle on it. Although I'm going to ask you to do it, too. It's only fair to give us both a shot at it.
It's fair. That is fair. I definitely want to give it a bat.
But those are the DraftKings Sportsbook odds, and the separation, I think, is pretty stark there between two guys we felt like we're going to rule the golf landscape for the rest of the season. And no matter which driver Rory shows up with at Oakmont, I mean, you said it since the Truist, that we're just a little concerned about where he's at off the tee. You know, how do you, this feels like one of the worst possible things you could have for a get right week at a major. Is that fair to say?
Definitely. You don't want to be coming into Oakmont looking for accuracy, because hitting the fairway is going to be so important. And for Rory, like I said earlier, it sets up his game when he's driving it good. These mammoth of par fours that they're going to have out here at this golf course become much, much more manageable. What will be helpful is that there is some rain in the forecast, and they've had a bunch of rain to this point from my sources on the ground outside the ropes. It's a slosh pit, mud pit. So make sure you're not bringing a pretty white shoes over to Oakmont this week. It's going to be, it's going to be a bit of an issue.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. Let's do this thing. We got Rick Saratella stepping up and in. We got more CFL talk. I see some in our chat. Big Iron Scruff, what's up, my man? Since he looked forward to the CFL talk. I'm like, we just did it with McKinnis for like 30 minutes. But we do have more with Rick Saratella coming up. Rick was a scout with the Edmonton Elks last year. But new management, new coaching staff and all that. So Rick was out with the Elks. But he's got a passion for the CFL now. And he likes it. He can openly bet on it and pick games now, Cam. He couldn't as a scout before. You know?
That's right. Gabe, I like the Edmonton Elks. Like now, that's right. Now it's like you can get, if I want to take the Ottawa Red Blacks, I'll take the Ottawa Red Blacks. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like he actually said last week, this isn't out of spite or anything, but I think Edmonton's going to get killed by BC.
This isn't out of spite. Meanwhile, yeah, that's it. I bet he's happy this week. Hey, Gabe, BC covered.
Yeah, he did, but he called. He said it could be problems for him. All right, so the U.S. Open, Scottie Scheffler's the big favorite, plus 280. Bryson's the next guy, plus 650. Bryson's won two of these things before. Rory's 13-1. John Rahm's 12-1. Xander's 24-1. Morikawa's 30-1. Ludvig 22-1. Neiman 27-1. Fleetwood 32-1. Justin Thomas. So you're getting some pretty big numbers on some very good golfers. I'm looking at some trends here, Cam. This is pretty interesting. Each of the last 10 winners have been inside the top 50 rankings. But how about this? In the last 53 major championship events, the only time that somebody wasn't ranked in a top 50 going into that major was Phil Mickelson, the 2021 PGA Championship. Yep. So just for the record, this is from CBS Sports. This would cut off Tom Kim, Cameron Young, Matt Fitzpatrick, Siwoo Kim, Michael Kim, Johnny Vegas, and Davis Riley. I don't know if you liked any of those guys, Cam.
I do like Cam Young for obviously a top 40s plus money, but I'm also going to sprinkle on him. Gabe, he's 150-1. Obviously, it's going to be just very small amounts, but he almost won the Canadian Open, made a mistake with a club on 18. But this course is very interesting, too. And I will tell you this, Morenci, and driving has never been more important. And people talk about Scheffler, he's the favorite. But if he has a little bit loose of a driver at Oakmont, that is big, big trouble. So one guy, Xander Schauffele, was a little bit loose with the driver, but guys who hit it straight, be very, very careful, like the Fleetwoods of the world and all these other guys. I know Brady Cannon, we respect his golf opinion, and he likes Tommy Fleetwood. He got him at 55-1. Fleetwood's never won, but he's finished second a lot of the times, but this is a perfect type of course for him, Gabe, because I'll tell you something. I watch Golf Channel. If you guys hit it in the rough, you're dead here. Like, you need to be in the first cut. If you go into the second, third, or like the deep stuff, it's not like fescue grass in Scotland. Like, you'll break your arm. Like, it's almost impossible to get out. Plus, they're getting rain. That makes the rough even heavier.
Yeah, supposedly this course is a real torture chamber, Cam, for players, huh?
It's a beast. It's an absolute beast. It's not as long as you think, Gabe, but I'll tell you one thing. If you don't hit it, like, if you don't hit it straight and long, and I don't know, that's the thing, too, the weather. A lot of these guys are going to, like, short hitters, they're going to be going in with long clubs, and that's a disaster if you're in the rough, too. But, like, a lot of guys, like, you could take a look at these guys, Gabe, like the top 20s. Like, I know you like Russell Henley sometimes, and these guys, you want guys, greens in regulation, guys who hit it straight, right down the middle, and then the approach game's important. And that's the thing about Bryson DeChambeau. If you look at all of his stats, and I love him this week, his wedge game is 146 in the world right now, but he switched up his wedges. I watched his press conference on Golf Channel today. Yeah. He thinks the new equipment could help him out. We'll see about that, but this is the one tournament, like Scheffler, once in a while will spray it. So you have to be very, very straight this week, and that's very good news for a guy like John Rahm, who's not getting a lot of credit, and he's a damn good player still.
Yeah, great breakdown, Cam. Actually, you know what? I don't like when guys have new equipment personally. Just me, I'm like, yeah, changing drivers, this and that, and changing clubs going into a major event. But good call with John Rahm. I see right now, this is pretty crazy. The three guys standing. So the last 10 champions average at least plus 0.75 strokes per game in the last 3 months leading up to their victories, which basically eliminates like almost everybody here, Cam. So going through this process, it's kind of longer and complicated. The last three golfers standing, Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau, and John Rahm. You just mentioned John Rahm getting pretty good value. Is this the tournament where John Rahm steps up and reminds people, or at least was?
Yeah, he can win, Gabe. I like him for a top 10 at plus money, definitely. And I think he'll be there on Sunday. I'm not sure if he can get by, but two out of three. I like DeChambeau and Rahm this week. We got better numbers with Scottie Scheffler, but he'll be there in the mix, as you know, every single tournament.
All right, we got some football talk with Rick Saratella on the other side with the UFL Championship game, CFL Week 2, some college football as well.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Twisted Tuesday continues. Let's do this thing with our main man, Rick Saratella, allaccessfootball.com, founder of the NFL Draft Bible, scout, football guru. There's a lot of stuff to break down. UFL Championship game. week one CFL, NFL news. I want to talk a little college football as well. Good to see you, Rick. How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's happening, Gabe? Just love talking football with you. Exciting first week of CFL action. Looking forward to the UFL championship. Of course, that NFL calendar never dies.
You know, let's start off with the UFL, actually. I was somewhat surprised that DC was able to go into St. Louis and just beat them down the way that they did. They took an early 14-0 lead. The Battle Hawks were trying to battle back all game after Duggan was struggling at quarterback, former TCU Horned Frog. He was struggling, and, you know, DC really just, you know, went wire to wire in that football game. Pretty impressive win for the DC Defenders. And remember, Rick, they were in a championship game a couple of years ago and ended up losing on their home field. And you got a Michigan Panther team that's been always one of the better teams as well in these leagues, XFL, UFL, whatever. But they were always in the same division with Birmingham all the time, right? Or, you know, they just weren't quite the best, but they were really good. What are your thoughts on a Michigan and DC Defender UFL championship game?
Well, you know, I'm not surprised. I got a chance to work with both of these general managers at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, Von Hutchins with the DC Defenders and Steve Kazer with the Michigan Panthers. So not a surprise to me. DC, I mean, when you look at some of the wide receivers this team has brought in, and Jordan Tiamo has played relatively mistake-free football. And again, we talk about continuity, but the importance of continuity in a spring league, like Jordan Tiamo has been there 3 or 4 years as the DC Defenders quarterback. He's got some real weapons. And so I actually like DC to win this game. They're getting 3.5. I think they're going to win the game, right? Bryce Perkins has been as good of a player as there is. But again, when you talk about, it's going to come down to who makes the fewest mistakes. And Perkins is tend to have a turnover one per game. So I think that's what it's going to come down to. It could come down to the last possession, but I like DC in a close one.
There's been some movement. So I'm seeing right now the Michigan Panthers -3, over under 50. This game's in St. Louis, which I don't understand. They should just play at the home venues. Like, really, just play at the home venue. And Michigan are -160. I'm surprised, Rick, that you're going with DC. You like their overall collective effort. Let's not forget, too, guys, longtime NFL coach, assistant coach, DC head coach Greg Williams was actually the defensive coordinator of the Defenders. He left and his son took over. And they don't blitz as much, actually. I figured they would just run the exact same package. They don't. So it's a pretty cool story, actually, that Williams' kid has gotten them here right now. But I'm surprised that you're picking DC just because I know what a fan of Perkins and the Michigan Panthers that you've been.
I am, and Tua Toa is somebody that I tried to recruit up to Edmonton. We winded up signing Rankin instead. You can't complain about that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan wins, but I'll tell you what, I picked DC to win it last year. They had somewhat of a down year, and my guy Von Hutchins has just been on his grind. Like, there's some really talented dudes that I expect to see in NFL training camps on this Defenders roster.
Rick Saratella kicking it with us. All right, so we've got the UFL championship game this weekend. Week two of the CFL is almost already here, Rick. That's the thing with the CFL, as you learned, man. There's not a lot of rest, right? Like, BC Lions played Saturday night. Good for you. You're playing Thursday night on the road against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But I don't know how many of the games you got an opportunity to see, how much of the CFL action you were able to see this week. I know that two of the games were on the CBS Sports Network. And just for the record, everybody out there, if you want to watch the CFL, you can watch any game for free. Just go to their website. It's CFL Plus. All you have to do is give them your email. Like, it's, you know, sign up, basically. You register, you sign in, you log into the website, and you're able to watch every CFL game on CFL Plus for free around the world, like anywhere in the world. So just want to throw that out there. But what were your takeaways from week one of the CFL, Rick?
Yeah, you know, I got a chance to see every game, Gabe. Loved watching your highlights from the BC, the Snoop concert, and they came alive there in the second half. You know, Nathan Rourke looked really sharp. In fact, I think BC is the best bet this week playing those Winnipeg Blue Bombers with the game under their belt. I think they catch Winnipeg in Winnipeg as the Blue Bombers were on that first week bye. Ottawa, you know, shout out to my guy Geno Lewis. He had his 400th career reception. He goes for a CFL record this week, trying to have a 10th straight game with a touchdown reception. And that's what he does. He's just like Karl Malone in the post when it comes down to the red zone. Geno Lewis will post you up. And then Calgary, you talked about it. You liked the over. PJ Walker had a rushing touchdown coming in the short yardage situation. Vernon Adams, 284 yards passing through the year. Two interceptions. I expect them to cut down on the turnovers as the season wears on. But this Calgary team, Tevin Jones, a sneaky signing, man. I like what they're about.
I tell you what, I think the Stampeders are actually live this week again on the road. I don't think people are going to buy into them. So, as Rick mentioned, the BC Lions are on the road Thursday night against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Somewhat surprised me to see the Bombers as home underdogs in their home opener. BC are -2.5. I think it comes into play that Zach Collaros is suspended for this football game, so Chris Streveler will be the quarterback, but I'm still surprised that BC are favored. But like Rick said, BC do have a game under their belts right now, and it was frustrating in the first half, their offense a little bit, but we need, and you know this, Rick, being around the CFL, it's hard to forget. It's easy to forget as a fan sometimes you're there that the starters didn't play in the preseason, right? It's going to take them a couple of games even, and you saw the progression from the first half to the second half with BC's offense. By the fourth quarter, they were rolling. It was like first down central, like dropping back, just throwing. They started to get into a groove. So BC are 2.5-point road favorites, total 49.5. Big one on the East Coast, Rick, this week with the Montreal Alouettes, who look really good. I know you're high on the Alouettes. You think they're going to win the championship this year. Man, their defense was fierce and nasty against Toronto. Now they go to Ottawa. Ottawa, Rick, 1-point home favorites in this game. What do you think about that one on Friday night?
Yeah, this game, I think it's going to be much closer than people think because I like this Ottawa team. I think they're going to be able to put points on the board, and this should be a good contest for them because I think based on what I've seen, and I wrote about this in the All Access Football Report coming out Wednesday with my CFL notebook, based on what I saw on week one, Montreal looks like they have the best defense in the league. So this will be a great contest. I'm going to go with the experience here of Montreal. I just think they have too much firepower. I think their defense will be swarming once again, and I think it'll be a low-scoring under. I like Montreal to take this one.
Total is 49.5. That's on Friday night. Saturday, we have a doubleheader, 4 o'clock Eastern. The Calgary Stampeders coming off their win go to Toronto. It should be noted Toronto really don't have much of a home field advantage. And it's a new Calgary Stampeder team. And I'll tell you what, Vernon Adams has played really well on the East Coast before. So the Stampeders are getting 3 points. Total is 50.5. I'll tell you guys, it's hard to want to bet an under in a Calgary Stampeder game. And you know the Argo offense. They had a couple of drop passes. They should have put more points up on the board against Montreal. I expect this game to be a track meet, Rick. The total is 50.5. I think there's going to be points on the board here.
Yeah, there could be a lot of points on the board. I don't think we've got a definitive answer in regards to Chad Kelly's status here. And for that reason, I think Toronto might get caught on the upset alert. So I'm going to put the Argos on upset alert. Give me the Stampeders.
Love it. Love it. Love where you're going with this. All right, we got about a minute, Rick. Rough Riders, Saskatchewan, 3.5-point favorites on the road against Hamilton, 50.5. This is another game. There's going to be points put up on the board in this game. I'm not a big Hamilton backer. I kind of fade them more than bet them, but I like them plus the 3.5 here. If they lose, they'll lose a heartbreaker. They'll lose a close one.
Yeah, you know, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, they're going through an emotional time. You know, I spoke to Ted Gavette, their GM, who had to step away from the team for personal reasons as he fights a personal issue. And I just feel like they're a really roller coaster ride team right now, and they got off to a slow start. I don't know if they're going to be able to overcome this emotional roller coaster in week two. So I think it's going to take
this more on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Get it with Rick Saratella, allaccessfootball.com. So, Rick, you're just talking about the emotional state of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And they've got a diehard fan base. You know, they've been struggling for a couple of years right now. They've got stuff going that they got to deal with off the field as well. But they were pretty high coming in this year. They felt, you know what, we could put some points up on the board. Last year, they had a very inexperienced defense. And we saw they gave up some points, but... Hey, listen, Saskatchewan are good, but they're not unbeatable. Like I said, I'm going to take the Hamilton Tiger Cats here and look, try to gut out an emotional home victory, and I'll also be on the over 50.5.
Yeah, you know, it seems like every time I pick against Corey Mace, he comes out with the victory. I'm tired of betting against him. I think maybe he's the best head coach. He's a hot, young, up-and-coming guy. And I'll tell you what, the one thing about BC is they imported a lot of guys. Like, they brought 10 guys over from Winnipeg. They had a lot of free agent acquisitions. I think it's going to take them a few weeks to kind of gel here.
Rick Saratella kicking it with us. Rick, college football. The season is rapidly approaching right now, which is pretty cool. The cycle of life of the football world continues. And a team, and I know that you're already looking at next year's draft and you're putting things together and you're looking at players. And a team that, I tell you what, that I think literally could have like 4 first-round draft picks next year. I don't know if you can tell me whether I'm crazy or not. The Clemson Tigers. And let's remember, guys, the Clemson Tigers were an NFL factory for years. They were winning championships. They were going to championships. They were on Alabama's level. They were sending players to the National Football League. The talent dropped off a little bit. Dabo was stubborn about the transfer portal. I'm going to do it my way. Yet his way isn't a bad way, guys. And he got criticized a lot. And I always thought it was crazy, Rick. Like, people thought, oh, Clemson are done. They never adapted to the modern world. I'm like, you know, they've won 10 games in a row for like 7 years in a row, et cetera. Like, you know, they go 9-3 and people bury Dabo and stuff. But I tell you what, Dabo's back. And I know I want to ask you, because from their quarterback and Clay Kubnik, who I'm a big fan of, to Peter Woods, who might be the best defensive player in college football, to their DBs, to their D linemen, like, they literally are stacked with first round NFL talent, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, you got to give Dabo credit for being able to recruit, keep those guys in-house, and then develop, right? Because he's basically going in with a homegrown roster. And what I mean is all these guys on the roster, he recruited, except for one. Like, they had one guy come in through the transfer portal, because all these other guys, Dabo handpicked them, and he seeked out guys that want to develop, that want to go pro, that understand the vision. And, you know, I think there's a little religious thing that goes on with some of his recruitment too, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But he's got it to a point now where he's kept all these guys in-house for the last 3 or 4 years. And you're right. He did fall by the wayside because he refused to adapt to the NIL, but he stuck to his guns. And now this is the year it's going to pay dividends. And this is the year I think Clemson – not only are they a college football playoff contender, I think they're going to be a top 4 seed.
I agree with you. I think Clemson make the playoffs and win a couple of games. Like, I think they're in this thing. Hey, listen, mm-hmm. They gave Texas all they could handle. They just couldn't keep up in the long run last year. And that game was on the road as well. But looking at their talent here, Rick, from T.J. Parker, you know, great edge rusher, Avion Terrell. Their cornerback, like, you know, we're talking about premier college football players, and not to mention their quarterback. The one thing that they've been missing for the past couple of years, that they used to always have good position players, wide receiver, right? They used to always have a star wide receiver. They haven't had a star wide receiver in a while.
Yeah, and that's going to change. I think Antonio Williams, if I'm not mistaken, is the name. But they do have a wide receiver very high on our big board, a potential first-round pick. You mentioned the corner with the NFL bloodlines. His brother just came out a few years ago. They've got probably the top edge rusher in the draft at this juncture. And then they also have a defensive tackle that's in the first round equation too. Peter Woods, I believe. So you talk about Clay Kubnik, who I thought played as good as any quarterback down the stretch in the second half of the season as anyone in the nation. And it took a while. We've talked about it on this show. Like, I think during the season last year, like, he finally has lived up to that five-star billing. Like, he's played up to that potential that we didn't see the first two or three years.
And Klubnik, guys, was a five-star recruit, won the Texas State Championship, actually beat the quarterback at Texas. What's the quarterback? Quinn Ewers. I was going to say Colt McCoy for some reason, but they're all these Texas names, eh? Quinn, Colt, Quinn Ewers. Beat Quinn Ewers in a state championship game. He lost when they played in the playoffs last year, but you talked about, I was reading an interview with him about Klubnik and just about his development. He's working with Jordan Palmer, the quarterback coach guru, step by step, and each year they sort of study a quarterback. Last year it was Mahomes and Bailey Zappi of all people, but Bailey Zappi in college. Now they're looking at Joe Burrow from the LSU season, etc. There's a real method to the madness. His footwork, arm work, etc. Like, they're checking all the boxes with Clade. Like, he's being taught. He's going to be ready for the NFL Combine, and he's going to be one of these guys that NFL coaches and GMs like when they talk to him, because he is a football junkie, Rick.
Yeah, you know, listen, it's not far-fetched to think that he could catapult into the first round, right? Because Arch Manning could stay in school. Lenore Sellers could stay in school. Who's to say that Carson Beck or Nico is really the top quarterback? So, like, why can't Klubnik become that guy? I mean, with another kind of caliber type of season, post, like, he could be in the Heisman equation very well, right? So, like, why can't he?
I'm going to be betting Clemson -140 to make the college football playoffs. It's a nice bet.
Oh,
the Michigan Wolverines are +200 for the record. And I would be disappointed if Michigan don't make it back, but I think Clemson are obviously the bigger lock. I mean, Clemson play in the ACC. So, yeah, Clemson are going to win. Rick, we got to get out of here, my man, but it's always good. Where can people find you online? What do you got going on?
Yeah, allaccessfootball.com. I've got the power rankings coming out tomorrow. I went down to Delaware State and interviewed DeSean Jackson, Clinton Portis, and his whole crew with the HBCU. Check it out.
Oh, awesome. Man, there's all these NFL former players that I never in a million years thought would be coaches and the coaches now. Him, Michael.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Great stuff with Rick Saratella, as always. Shout out to Mr. Football, Rick Saratella. We'll have more CFL talk tomorrow night, but I'm starting to round into form as far as what I like this week in the CFL. We'll break it down tomorrow night with Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. Just quickly, as far as the Clemson Tigers are concerned, I see they open up with LSU, which isn't easy. I don't know why Clemson do these tough games to open up the season all the time. Say what you will about LSU as well, but they're not shy about playing someone tough in their season opener. So LSU Clemson on August 30th. Other than that, it's very manageable. Troy at Clemson, Clemson Georgia Tech, Syracuse at Clemson, Clemson at North Carolina, Clemson at Boston College, SMU at Clemson, Duke. And SMU are pretty good, actually, but Duke at Clemson, Florida State at Clemson, Clemson at Louisville, Furman at Clemson, Clemson at South Carolina. So the back end is kind of tricky here, but I do like this Clemson team a lot, just for the record. They're 14-1 to win a national championship. They're -140 to make the playoffs, and they're +125 to win the ACC. But they're stacked with a ton of talent this year, the Clemson Tigers. Going to be a very dangerous football team, but so are LSU, so that's going to be a great game on August the 30th. So tomorrow night, the NBA Finals, Cam. We spoke with McKinnis about the finals earlier. I do believe that the Pacers are going to get a split here, and you're on the +2.5 games. I'm on the +2.5, so we need one more win. I think we're going to get it, but the +180 is pretty attractive here, and we go back to the well. One, you know, hopefully they win the first game at +180 tomorrow night. Then the bet is already won, and we hit the 180 tomorrow as well. But I threw it out there. I think they'll be tied after four games. I think Indy's going to find a way to split this these two games at home.
and that pays plus 105 series correct score after four games. What's your pick for tomorrow night?
I love it, Gabe. And another thing, I'm going to take them both on the money line on my FanDuel account. They're plus 184. So if they don't get it done in game three, I'm going to go back to them. But I also like Pascal Siakam. I know he always hovers around 19.5, but our former Raptor friend, I think at home, he's going to have to be huge for Indiana in this game. And I think he gets into the mid-20s, maybe even a little bit deeper. So already bet that over 19.5. I'm taking the points, and I'm taking the Pacers on the money line. If they lose this game, I'm coming right back to them.
I'll be taking the over as well at 228.5. We talked about the tempo earlier. I think it's better for the Pacers. They're going to want to push the tempo. Look, game one guys nearly got there, and there was a really slow start to the game. Both teams, NBA Finals, it was a slow first quarter, it was a slow first half, and they still ended up getting to 221. They got to 230 in game two. I think this theme will continue, actually. I think there'll be points. The Pacers are going to be more comfortable at home. I'll post some player props for the game tomorrow. As far as Major League Baseball is concerned right now, I'm in a little bit of trouble. The D-backs blew the game open, 9-2 over Seattle. Now I know why Seattle were plus 150. 9-2, we lose the total already, too. I had under 9.5 camp. Dodgers getting lit up, 9-0 right now. Athletics and Angels, they're tied at 1 in the top of the 9th, so you could jump in on that game if you want to play Russian roulette. The Angels are minus 130 right now.
I think you gave the listeners and the viewership some good advice, though. Is it? Didn't say? Oh, my God. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
The San Francisco Giants came back and beat Colorado.
Dude, they leave it to the wrong. They were plus 280 at one point late, too. I didn't get in on it. Like, I should have taken it when they were plus 150. They were plus 280. They ended up winning the game.
Heading
they
into
scored
that inning.
Four runs. Yeah, they scored four
they're
runs.
Almost 10-1, I think, because they were down. They were down three runs heading into the ninth, and San Francisco put up a four spot to win 6-5. So, classic Rockies collapse in the ninth.
Wow.
What a loss!
That would have really made up for the other baseball losses. Hitting that on the way out.
I can't believe it, man. That team—they just find new ways to lose. Nice lead, man. You called it though. You said they're going to come back and win the game. Just didn't think it would take that long. Four runs in the ninth. Unreal.
It's just sort of mathematical probability, right? They're in a tie game, close game. Yeah, you're right. They probably were like plus 8, you know, plus 700 or something. I don't know. It is Colorado, so it doesn't get too crazy. But last I saw was plus 280. And they were only down by like one at the time, too, I think, or two runs at the time. I think it was one run. It was later in the baseball game, but they hung a four spot up. And, you know, somebody was smart enough to fade Colorado out there, Cam. It just wasn't us to cash that ticket on the way out.
No, it was definitely not us. But let's win in basketball tomorrow. A lot of early baseball as well tomorrow. Crazy games, early starts, Gabe. We got Pittsburgh and Miami, Chicago, Philly.
Ton of golf picks tomorrow night. Brady Canatan still to be in the house with the U.S. Open up next. We'll have a ton of CFL picks as well. We'll hit the Stanley Cup, NBA, new game. Other than that, you're on your own, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.